Living Life on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
Time for the Sports Corner, presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center's Community Sports Institute, with your hosts, Casey Gisclair and Stan Gravois.
Thank you very much, Joey D. We are live here on in our La Rose studios. It's the Sports Corner, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Casey and Stan having a good Saturday, and we hope over the next 2 hours we could help brighten your Saturday as well. We've got a long list of guests coming your way, beginning in 15 minutes, where we go to Justin Williams, home and native professional baseball player. He actually got a cup of coffee in the show last summer. We're going to talk to Justin about some things he's trying to do to get back to that level in 15 minutes. In 30 minutes, we're going to have South Lafourche assistant baseball coach Chandler Guitros. He's going to talk about some of the things the Tarpons are getting accomplished over the summer. They're actually playing a weekend tournament out at Hanville, try to get some summer work in. 10:45, we have Houma professional basketball player Nate Fry, who will be joining us. Nate is doing a lot of great things. He's fresh off of his rookie season at the highest level, playing really, really well. We're going to look forward to talking to Nate. He's a good dude, and he's always got a lot of things going on, so we'll ask him about some things he's doing. At 11:15, we're going to talk to a gentleman who just got his championship ring. That is Thibodeau men's basketball coach Tony Clark. They had their ring night earlier this week for he and that wonderful group of Tigers. Coach Clark is going to talk to us about that, and then also look forward a little bit at some things the Tigers are looking to do over the summer. They're playing summer basketball just like everybody else, so it's time to start fresh for Thibodeau. And then at the middle of the second hour, we're going to have Elner football coach David McCormick on the line. Coach McCormick is grinding it out over the summer. They're doing 7-on-7 and getting bigger and faster and stronger because, man, I'm looking at my calendar. It's June 15th. It feels like school just ended about 20 minutes ago. It's already the middle of June. Summer's flying by, isn't it?
It is. It definitely is. And when David McCormick comes on, just a little teaser to everybody. He's going to talk to us about Ellender Memorial football, but he's going to talk to us about something else that you want to stick around to hear, folks. And we have the clearance for this because I actually spoke to him yesterday, and he's really excited about this. So if you want to hear news that may drop your jaw, say that three times really fast, you want to hang around for that. But David, a good guy, and we appreciate him always coming on. But, yes, we keep saying summertime is that time usually when things are laid back and you have a little time to catch your breath, but it's really not. Things are always going on in the sports world.
So that'd be 11:30, David McCormick, with a little bit of interesting news coming your way at the bottom of the hour. So, Stan, you guys are busy gathering everything together. You guys have, what, 4 or 5 days now to get this Hall of Fame ceremony off and running without a hitch. That'll be on June 20th on Thursday night. Sounds like the sort of watching a horse race down to the final stage now, getting ready and getting everything going.
That's a pretty good analogy. You just hope that it doesn't throw the rider or anything. It's a big undertaking. Actually, 3 years ago when this started, and of course we're talking about the Bayou Region Athletic Hall of Fame, when it started 3 years ago, we thought if we went in the back, room of some restaurant in town and just kind of gave a certificate to each of these guys, that would be successful. Just to honor these people. Well, what happens is that it's a really, really nice induction ceremony over at Cypress Columns in Gray, Louisiana. If you've not had the opportunity to go to that venue, it's a really nice venue.
And
the thing is really dignified. Again, I keep on mentioning these videos. They're called intro videos, and these introduction videos also serve as education for, to keep the history of these guys alive. So I think we're there. I think we have it all together. I was very pleased. I heard actually yesterday that all inductees from the inaugural year, the first year, a few years ago, are all going to be there, of course, except for Eric Andelsek, who was put in posthumously. But you have, Bobby Hebert, and you have Scott Sanders and Buddy Marcello and Gerald Albert. And all of those guys who were that year are going to be there. So that's kind of neat.
Yeah, that's cool.
Including the guys who are going in this year, which includes Clarence Verdant, Jay Pennison, Johnny Meads, Avery LeBlanc, Melvin Johnson Jr., and Margaret Haydell Johnson. So I think we're there, and if we're not there yet, Casey, I'm not sure we ever get there. But Kati Stratman has done a terrific job with the foundation of getting things together. The food is all ordered. By the way, the food that night. So truth be known, for transparency, it's $50 to go to the event.
Mm-hmm.
The event that night, for people to think, well, you know, is it worth $50 to go to this or whatever? There's going to be pork chop ribeyes. I've never had a pork chop ribeye, so that ought to be interesting. I'm ready for anything. So they'll have a seared pork chop ribeye, but there's also a turtle cheesecake for dessert. So that's worth the $50 by itself. But there are a lot of nice things that go on. And for anybody who says, is there proceeds to be made from this? If there are, and there's usually not a whole lot, but if there are, the neat thing about it is that the kids of today, so the kids who are playing in high school sports today, are actually standing on the shoulders of those guys who came before them. Because of this Hall of Fame induction ceremony, any proceeds made go back into taking care of the kids who are playing high school athletics now.
Nice.
For example, baseline testing for concussion testing, follow-up testing for concussion testing, EKG testing, all of these things that usually would cost the quote-unquote consumer money are now being taken care of with any proceeds that go from this Bi-Region Hall of Fame induction. So it's a pay it forward type situation, and it's really kind of neat. And I do look forward to Thursday. I look forward to it, but I'm also glad when it's all over just from the standpoint of it's a lot of work.
And I'll give you guys credit for this. Is aside from the ceremony, which is always awesome, is in the Sports Performance Training Center itself, or Sports Performance Institute itself, you guys have a wonderful little wall here with pictures and everything. It's great for the younger athletes to go in and see and like, hey, who's this guy? Okay, well, here's what he looks like, and here's what his number was. And you guys do a wonderful job honoring the past.
So initially what happened was is in the lobby, we were just putting pictures up of Terrebonne Parish, ex-Terrebonne Parish athletes who went out and lettered at their school. I'm not talking about signed at a school and never showed up, or signed at a school and went out there and didn't like how they were treated and left and never lettered. They had to have lettered. So we had all these pictures up, and then we started getting Lafourche Parish and St. Mary and Assumption Parish residents who would come in and say, well, I don't see such and such. So we just kind of opened it up, and we have anybody we could get a picture of who has lettered, we put them up there. That's how it all started way back when all of the Community Sports Institute product line started. Then when the Wall of Fame came, there was a special place in the hospital that was perfect for a Wall of Fame, and that is a very, very plexiglass nice area. And since we've been having these Hall of Fames, that is where those special people go. And of course, now after 3 years, we have 18 of those inductees who are up on those walls. So yeah, it's a little memorabilia. It's a little museum. It's a little sports bar. It's a little everything, and it's all in a hospital, which is kind of strange.
All right. So let me ask you this: if there's anybody driving down in their vehicle saying, "Hey, I'm free Thursday night. I would like to go to that," what do they have to do? They have to call. Can they show up at the door?
You can show up at the door, so that's easy enough. So in Gray at Cypress Columns, if you got there around 5:30, that's when the cocktail hour starts. They would gladly seat you. Now, there is limited seating, and I understand they have 3 tables left, but there is an upstairs balcony over at Cypress Columns, and there would be room for everybody from what I understand. The best way to do it to secure yourself is to go to tgmc.com/events. So it's easy enough, tgmc.com/events. And you could look up information. If you're even not sure if you want to go, it actually gives you a little description of what it's about. At about 6 o'clock, the festivities start, and that's basically because it's a weekday. In the past, they would start at 7 o'clock, but since it's on a Thursday, and it was purposely put on a Thursday because in the summertime, you have a lot of families who want to get out of Dodge.
Yeah,
you know?
Going out of town.
So on Thursday night, we thought it may be more appropriate, or at least we'll try it this year. 6 o'clock it starts. There are the introductions, and then each in alphabetical order inductee is inducted. I can tell you this: for Margaret Haydell Johnson, her inductor will be her husband, Ricky Johnson. For Melvin Johnson Jr., I get the Johnsons mixed up a little bit, but they're not related. Melvin Johnson Jr., the inductor is Marty Jaubert. A lot of people know Marty. He was a senator in our area. Marty and Melvin were best friends when they were kids, which I did not know. and he's got a special story because I actually spoke with Marty night before last, and he can't wait to induct his friend, Melvin Johnson Jr., who is no longer with us. Then for Avery, Avery LeBlanc, the inductor is Mo Leerad, who is a terrific bowler in Homa, who's a prodigy who came about because of Avery LeBlanc, who now lives in Dallas, Texas. And then for Johnny Meads, it's kind of neat. It's his young daughter, Brittany Meads, who is going to induct him. So that'll be special. For Jay Pennison, it's his childhood friend, Eddie Rome, a product of Homa, who is going to be there to do that. And then finally, for Clarence Verdant, it's his childhood friend from Dulac, Louisiana, Donnie Celestine. And I remember Donnie well from days back when. So it's going to be a fun event, and it's special for those inductors to have that opportunity to do that.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I'm getting the chills as you're telling me all the people that are inducting. That's going to be a special emotional night for all those people. That's a great thing. In addition to the Hall of Fame, you guys are staying busy over the summer. What are some things you guys got going on? Like, whenever you get the Hall of Fame stuff off your desk, what's going to be the next big hurdle that you're going to have to climb? Because I know it never stops for you, man.
Scheduling for all of the schools in the area in relation to making sure they have athletic trainers covering their events. Certainly, we have certified athletic trainers who are out there to take care of the schools. A lot of people think, again, that in the summertime it's a little easier for them. It actually is not. We do go to all Swampland League games where there are a lot of athletic trainers at different schools that don't. They feel like it's not a school-led event. But as long as Swampland Baseball has that moniker that we are going to keep our high school kids together from our school to move on, we're there to cover it. It's not quite the same for American Legion Baseball, because in American Legion Baseball, you may have multiple schools coming together and some schools that are outside of our service district. So we don't follow that as much. Ellender Memorial has a basketball league. We're certainly at all of the games for Ellender Memorial's basketball league. We'll follow teams around. We'll there are different entities. The Homa Terrebonne Soccer Association, if they need anything, we're there for them. We just had a big CPR session for a group, again, from TPR. So it never stops. It's always, which is good, because I think that's probably what I needed in my life after coming out of education, something that is always a little challenging, not overbearing, but you feel really good about taking care of community. And we're very proud, because we don't charge anything for any of this. For anybody who thinks, okay, so you're a service and you get a fee for it, we're not a revenue maker. We're there just to kind of take care of the community as an outreach and kind of as an advertisement tool that, hey, look, we're here for you, and that's why we do the things we do.
That's awesome. We're going to take our first commercial break. When we get back, we're going to go to Springfield and talk to Justin Williams. He's currently on the disabled list. We're going to ask him when he's going to get back, but he's playing in the St. Louis Cardinals farm system, had a little bit of time in the bigs last year. You're listening to the Sports Corner, presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3 Radio.
Get ready, Greater New Orleans area. The big one, the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show, is coming for 2 big days only this weekend at the Pontchartrain Center on Williams Boulevard. Show hours are Saturday 9 until 5, Sunday 10 till 5. Hundreds of dealer tables available, full of guns, knives, ammunition, holsters, gun, books, camouflage, jewelry and related items. Hunters and collectors, this big show's for you. Buy, sell, trade, or just spend the day browsing. Ladies are especially welcome. Admission is just $10 for adults and $2 for children ages 6 to 11. Sorry, no one under the age of 18 admitted without a parent. Got any guns to sell? Be sure they're unloaded and bring them to the show. Thousands of buyers will be there. Instant background checks available for gun purchases. The big one, the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show. Show hours 9 to 5 Saturday, 10 till 5 on Sunday. Come to the Pontchartrain Center on Williams Boulevard to exercise your right to keep and bear arms. While you're there, be sure to register for the $50 restaurant gift card. See you there at the big one. Sure as shooting, don't miss it.
Bailey's Tire Service is your one-stop shop auto repair center. Their goal is to satisfy customer needs that walk through the door with their selection of Cooper, Mastercraft, and Toyo tires. Bailey's Tire Service will treat your ride like their ride. So for auto repairs, from oil changes, brake repairs, Bailey's Tire Service is your complete auto repair shop. Visit them online at baileystireservice.com or check them out on Facebook.
SBC. Very intrigued by the Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio.
Wackiest thing you've ever put on popcorn? Because I'll start the bidding at hot sauce.
Yeah, I put hot sauce on it.
No. Listen to me. I love popcorn. My favorite snack by far. You don't mess that up by putting anything on it except salt. No butter, none of this other BS.
You don't butter your popcorn?
No butter.
No. And do not give me these cheese toppings and all of this garbage.
That doesn't make any sense.
Popcorn?
Butter,
no.
Cheese. Stop. Exactly. That's a good one.
Salt. That's it.
Garlic salt.
Cheese.
Garlic salt.
Truffle salt.
Not ketchup. Garlic salt. Yes. Like, just salt.
Oh, what type of popcorn, though?
Lost your mind.
Kettle corn?
It's too sweet.
Kettle corn is delicious.
Kettle corn is good.
It's good. Oh, you get the sweet and the salt.
Fiddle faddle.
Sweet and savory.
I love the movie theater. I love the movie theater.
You like Cracker Jack?
This discussion upsets me, okay? It does.
The Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Hi, I'm Brittany LaBeouf, a certified athletic trainer for Terrebonne General Medical Center's Community Sports Institute. Did you know that we've given over 4,000 baseline concussion tests to student athletes in Terrebonne Parish at no charge? A baseline concussion test allows the athlete to get back to their sport in the safest manner possible. TGMC's certified athletic trainers supervise the return to play protocol at each high school once the physician releases the athlete back to activity. It's just another way that we're caring for our community. Terrebonne General's Community Sports Institute. Just look for the neon yellow. For more information, go to TGMC.com.
Follow us on Twitter at ESPN Radio NOLA.
And welcome back to the Sports Corner presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Casey Gisclair with Stan Grava. And we go to the phone lines right now. We have professional baseball player and Houma native Justin Williams on the line. Justin, good morning, man. How you doing?
Good morning. Come on. How are you guys?
Doing just fine, brother. We understand that you've been on the disabled list here for the last 3-4 weeks. What's going on with you, man?
Oh, well, besides my second metacarpal fracture that kept me out for, like, the first 2 months of the season, after, I'd say, the 10th game, I had a partial tear in my hamstring, but, you know, I'm kind of on the back end of the recovery process, so I started doing baseball activities, so I'm back in good spirits.
Justin, talk a little bit about going to spring training with your hand. I understand you were just an observer, and when I saw that, I thought to myself, that's got to be hard to do, where you're just going out to spring training and all you could do is kind of observe. What was your process, and did you learn anything while you were just observing?
Yeah, it was tough because I actually had a shot, you know, at competing for a job, like a left-handed bat off the bench maybe, but I kind of just soaked up a lot of information from Dexter Fowler, Willie McGee, whenever, you know, he was available. You know, whenever Jim Edmonds was out there, he'd kind of drop a nugget, and it's up to you. It's up to you to pick it up or not, you know?
Absolutely. And now, kind of to piggyback off of what Stan just asked, is that you're sitting out for so long with the hand injury, and then they put you back into the lineup. I know that you probably had some simulated games and some different things to get some at-bats, but it's not like facing live pitching. Just talk about what it was been like to try to get your timing back here after that long sit-out with the injury.
The timing part wasn't hard. It was just having consistent at-bats again. You know, the first week, you know, I started out hot, you know, sitting over 350, and just started to go through that baseball roller coaster. Try stealing a base in 50-degree weather. Tore my hamstring.
Talk a little bit, if I'm not mistaken, this is not your first time or in relationship to the St. Louis Cardinals organization, you know, when you go back there, and if you're in St. Louis at Busch Stadium, you actually were at Busch Stadium when you were a kid, right? Because I remember one of the teams from down here, and you may have played on it, actually got to go to Busch Stadium maybe when you were around 11 or 12?
Yeah. So we were playing for Mr. Larry Ward for the Houma Tigers. And my brother actually was the one playing on the team. I just traveled with him everywhere he went. And I got an opportunity to walk on the field. So hopefully, you know, if not this year, next year I can have an opportunity to actually play on the field.
What an awesome thing that would be. And while you're talking about your brother, Mike, what's Mike doing now? Because Mike was a terrific quarterback and baseball player over at Terrebonne High School a couple of years before you. What's Mike doing these days?
He's a lineman for Synergy.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah, awesome, man. Let me take you back to last summer a little bit. Is that you make your debut, and then like a couple of weeks later, if it was even a week later, you get traded. What's that like, man, to just like up and have to move across the country or whatever it may be, and you know, have to find a new apartment and then also still play baseball games on top of that? That had to be a very stressful 7 to 10 days for you.
Yeah, it was. So after I got option, you have, I think, 8 days to clear waivers. And my manager came back up to, like, he came back to my room like 8 days later at like 8 a.m. Last time he did the same thing when I got called up. So when I saw him like through the peephole, I was like, yes, hopefully I'm going back. And he was like, I have good news and bad news. And he told me about the trade, and I was just in shock. I was like, oh my gosh, like again, you know, because the first trade was a shock to me as well. I talked to, 2 hours later, Mike Gersh called me, the general manager for the Cardinals, and he kind of welcomed me, and Stubby Clapp, once I got to Memphis, made it an easy transition. You know, he won manager of the year 2 years in a row. And I just would like to commend the Cardinals for being a first-class organization, because they, you know, they welcomed me in with open arms, you know, even though I wasn't performing to the best of my ability.
When you think of the places you've played, such as Durham and obviously in Memphis and now in Springfield, and I don't want you to say anything that's going to get you in trouble in Springfield, but that being said, what's been the funnest place to play and you really enjoyed your time there?
I would have to say Durham, honestly. Just all the history that came with it, the group of guys I got to play with for 5 months, you know, I've been with them for 4 years, just battling to get to that playoff spot. Just the atmosphere on the weekend. Sometimes they get close to 10,000 fans on the weekend. It's like the most electric park I've ever played in.
Justin, you had a weird situation because you played in Durham, but then also you got traded and then had to face Durham in the playoffs. I mean, that had to be interesting, huh?
Yeah, that was intense. It was weird. I'm not going to lie, it was weird until we threw the first pitch, and then once the first pitch was thrown, my adrenaline started pumping, and it was time to focus. So it's just like everything was kind of, I don't know, everything was kind of moving at its own pace. And then after the game, you know, I went over, you know, I told all the guys, you know, it was an honor playing with them, you know, good luck with their careers. You know, it was just crazy being on the opposite side from guys like Dan DeMint, the hitting coach that I've been with for 4 years. You know, he's been at every level with me, and Jared Sandberg and Ben Johnson. The weirdest thing, Ben Johnson was our outfield, like kind of outfield, like base running coach, and now he's the manager for the Memphis Redbirds.
Wow.
So for all of the folks in New Orleans and all of the folks down in the Bayou region, Durham is the Bulls. So it's just like the movie, right? It's that team pretty much, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Speaking of New Orleans, I had a chance to go see you play last year over at the Shrine, and man, you hit a home run that probably is still traveling in the air right now. You tattooed that one. What was that like to come back home? And look, that night was a very quiet night at the park. Half of the fans that were there to watch you play. That was the loudest roar of the night. That had to be a great feeling for you.
Yeah, the first game I was a little nervous. I wasn't focused. I was just focused on trying to do too much. And then the next day I came in early, you know, I started, you know, tried a different routine, you know, tried to have that laser-like focus, and the guy left the changeup up in the zone, and I just put a good swing on it.
Absolutely. And talk about being injured with the hamstring. When are you thinking you're going to get back out on the field, brother?
Honestly, that decision would be up to the front office. The only thing that I really and truly can control is telling them how I feel, like, on a day-to-day basis. You know, I feel good. I started running, started throwing, hitting. So I think the next steps are base running and, arcs, as they call them. It's just running along the dirt of the infield. kind of simulate base running to see if I can handle turning. And then I think after that, I should be cleared.
Sure. And for folks who are, you know, not aware of this, is you've now played at the major league level and then also at the minor league level. And a lot of folks like to say, oh, you know, they're professional athletes or this, that, and the other. But being a minor league baseball player is hard, man. You guys are always on buses, and, like, it's not a very glamorous life, is it?
In Double A, no. But once you get to Triple A, we fly if the bus trip's over, like, 4 or 5 hours. It's not as bad. But, I mean, it just depends on how bad you want it. You know, like, I knew it wasn't going to be like, you know, all glamour and, you know, bright lights in the beginning. But, you know, you just got to put your head down and work hard. And hopefully, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel.
But what was it like to be in Tampa and to see, you know, the locker room and the catering and everything that they have out there? That had to be, you know, like, hey, I want to have this every day. That had to be a great feeling.
Yeah, that was, honestly, I would do anything to get back to the major leagues. Like, it's everything I imagined and more. Like, it was unreal. Like, you get right when I got out of the Uber, there was like cameras following you all the way into the locker room, and then after the game, you come into the locker room and there's like these like basically it's like you're on TV. You know, it's unbelievable. Like, it was unbelievable. Like, I will give anything, seriously, to get back there and actually solidify myself in the big league.
Well, look, brother, we hope that you get well soon, and we hope to see you out there on the field here in the next couple of days. Thanks so much for the time, brother.
No worries. Thank you.
Yes, sir. That is Justin Williams, home and native, good kid. He is doing a great job. Joey, we have another caller on the phone line. Coach Rod, good morning, man. How you doing?
Good morning, Casey. Stan.
What you got going on, brother?
Well, next Saturday, this time, the line camp will be registering at Nichols. Right now, our camp registration is over 425, so we're about 50 ahead of where we were last year at the camp.
Very good. And the camp begins when?
Yeah, we start on the 22nd, and it ends on the 25th.
Okay, very good. And I'm sure that you guys are awfully excited about the increase in numbers that you're seeing, huh?
Is it solidified as far as who's going to be in there to coach and counsel yet, Coach, or it still remains that y'all have a few things to do this week?
Well, everything you do with Nichols, you know, you have a checklist and you're checking it off by the dorms, the cafeteria, the fields are getting painted, just different things, working with the Nichols football staff with Coach Rebo and Coach Roussel, getting everything that we can ahead. And there's certain things that you can't get done till that day. We're going to be registering at Go Hall. We usually go into the ballroom, but there's an event that we couldn't get into it. We're going to be registering at Go Hall, and our registration starts about 9:30, 10 o'clock. And y'all would be welcome to come and do y'all show from there. If, I don't know if that's possible, but you would get to visit with a bunch of high school coaches and our local players that come through. You can maybe get an interview or do that. So just keep offering you guys that.
Sure, absolutely. We'll take a peek into that, and we may be able to make that work. And in terms of some things that a young man is going to learn at the camp, I know you said it's quite an event, isn't it?
Well, the biggest thing about it is Pete Jenkins says, we're not interested in how many stars you have. We coach more kids that have no stars. Of course, we have some of the guys that are, you know, the D1 players. But the whole idea of the camp is to make you a better high school football player technique-wise so that you can be more productive for your high school team. That's the whole idea and the mission of the camp. And if everything is about technique, where you place your hands, where you put your feet, how far you step, rolling your hips, and it's a repetitive thing. You won't see any balls flying in the air. You won't see no pretty passes by a quarterback. And it's just guys running into dummies, you know, taking a step, pulling, and that's the whole idea of the camp.
And if there's any mom or dad driving with a lineman in the household and they want to sign up, they could still sign up for the camp, can they?
They can still. We're going to close down registration online on Wednesday night at midnight. But we still taking them in, and if they want to walk up, you can still walk up.
Yeah, very good. And this is the 22nd through the 24th at Nichols, you said?
25th.
Okay, sounds very good. Well, Coach, look, man, we're up against a break, but thanks so much for calling and give us an update, and we may see you out there in the next couple of days.
And if they want to go to the LouisianaLionCamp.com, and they can get all the information, the brochures online, and they can get all the information there.
Sounds like a winner, Coach. Thank you, man.
Thank you, guys.
Yes, sir. That is Coach Rod. We are up against a commercial break, but when we get back, Stan and I are going to talk about some things going on in the world of sports. You're listening to The Sports Corner, presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3.
It's the Bigger Things sales event going on now at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Come and get a great deal on Ram today. See all of their new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Here in South Louisiana, traditions matter. Whether it's community festivals or Sunday afternoon family gatherings, we value these regular occurrences as part of our fabric of life. At SL Bank, we're built on the traditions of true community banking, relationship-based, service-driven banking that embraces your financial goals as much as you do. Come see us today. SL Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender in La Rose, North La Rose, Golden Meadow, Cutoff, and Galliano.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
Medications can be scary sometimes, but necessary for our health and well-being. Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy's staff are trained in finding you the lowest cost available on your medications. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options. Patients who take their medications as prescribed have better health outcomes. Stop by one of our pharmacies today, located in Rouse's Supermarket on Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
People join Walk MS to raise awareness and funds that change the world for everyone affected by multiple sclerosis. MS attacks the brain and spinal cord. It's the most common neurological disease leading to disability in young adults. Walk MS brings communities together, creating teams with friends, loved ones, and coworkers to rally around those we care about and end MS forever. Join us. Together we are stronger. Walk MS fundraising accelerates research breakthroughs and life-changing breakthroughs. It will take all of our passion, determination, and fundraising to end MS forever. Together, we can change the world for people with MS. Join us. Register today, start a team, and raise funds at walkms.org.
From the preps to the pros, we cover it all. ESPN New Orleans.
And welcome back to the Sports Corner, presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute with Casey Gisclair and Stan Gravov. We want to apologize for a schedule change. We were supposed to have South Lafourche assistant baseball coach Chandler Guitros on the line in this segment. But Coach Chandler said, hey, man, we're playing. So, Coach, we understand that other things take precedence. So he's going to be coaching his baseball team in the next couple of minutes out in Hanville. But, Stan, it has been a very busy couple of weeks in the world of sports, which is rare because, I mean, it's the middle of summer. You would think that it wouldn't be all that busy. But, heck, we just crowned an NBA champion. The NBA draft is next week. Baseball's rearing into high gear. We've got the U.S. Open golf. So there are a lot of things going on.
Let's not forget the St. Louis Blues.
St. Louis Blues, absolutely. Man, I'll actually show you this during the commercial break. Someone, a friend of mine, lives in St. Louis. She showed me a picture of the outside of her apartment right after Game 7. It is like you'd be in Jazz Fest in the middle of a neighborhood, just people partying and like nobody burning cars or couches, just people having a good time.
I have friends who actually live in Thibodaux now, but they've been in Thibodaux for now 35 years. Before that, from Alton, Illinois, which is right across the Mississippi River from St. Louis. And they were so excited. Absolutely no doubt they're big Blues fans. Here in the Thibodaux-Homa area, they were wearing blue shirts throughout the playoffs. The only way I could liken it is what we went through with the Saints. And then the Saints went in a Super Bowl because the Blues were kind of that bad luck hockey team. And I just wish I knew the rules and everything good enough. Because when I did watch, and I did watch on Wednesday when they won it, I think it was Wednesday night, when they won it all, I watched most of the game because I was excited for those fans. And then when they started to show clips and they started to show photographs of how that town was just so celebratory, I was like, that is awesome. You want to be part of that. Actually, two teams, because Toronto, same thing. Toronto's not like a perennial winner in a lot of different things. And obviously, they're the only Canadian NBA team now, so I'm sure it was special for those folks. So you like it when it's special. I'm going to tell you this, though. I say this now. If a guy like Kawhi Leonard ends up in Los Angeles somewhere, I'm not watching another NBA game.
Well, prepare to cancel your subscription, because I think he's going to end up with the Clippers before it's all said and done.
I don't care if it's the Clippers or the Lakers or whatever. When these guys are doing this, it just makes you... The only thing I thought of after Toronto winning it all that I thought maybe, just maybe, the Warriors are not done because Durant and Klay Thompson will sit around and go, wait a minute, we don't want to go out this way.
Yeah.
And if people think this is how it's going to end in Golden State, we're going to show them all. So if they come back, then it makes it a little bit different. But, man, when you start hearing immediately after the championship, immediately before the Raptors even get to celebrate, you start hearing, hey, this guy's going here, and this guy's going here, and this guy's going here, and I'm so sick of hearing about Anthony Davis and this and that I'm like, good God, if they start shifting things around to make it Los Angeles heavy, I'm just not watching this anymore.
And look, man, it's gotten to the point, it's not even just player personnel. Like, there's rumors that the Toronto Raptors president's going to the Washington Wizards for $10 million a year, and it's like, can these guys at least get the champagne out of their system before you try to poach the bone dry?
A good friend of ours, Nick Sinak, who coaches girls basketball at South Terrebonne, was actually in Toronto 2 weeks ago, and he said it was crazy. He actually said, my wife came home with Raptors gear. So now he said they had the opportunity to go to Jurassic Park and those things while they were there. So, again, a lot of fun. I hope we can feel that here in New Orleans with the Pelicans at one time or another. I'm not sure that's ever going to happen. But nonetheless, if they start shipping everybody off to the Knicks and the Nets and, the Lakers and the Clippers, that just I don't like that. I don't like it at all.
We may not ever see anything like what the Raptors did again. And what I mean by that is, in today's NBA, where it's so top-heavy and you've got to be this five-star player and this number one pick in the draft and this max contract, their highest draft pick on that roster was the number 15 pick in the draft, and that was Kawhi Leonard. Everybody else just kind of a scrap heap guy, a recycled piece from some other team. Marc Gasol came from another team. Serge Ibaka came from another team. They don't have any of those guys who were quote-unquote lottery picks. We may never see that again.
Well, I would think we're... And if this is what the general fan wanted, they got it. We're in a situation where I don't think you're going to see the same team repeat next year. I'm not saying it can't happen, but obviously with the way things are being talked about now, I don't see it happening. And maybe that's what we wanted. We wanted it to be a different team every year, or at least different lower markets having a shot at it every year. And that may come to fruition. But not if the stars of the Toronto team end up in one of those major markets.
Yeah, it's crazy because in the NFL, there's so much parity, and anybody could win it on any given year. The NBA is completely opposite. I think the NBA is trying to get that happy median where it's kind of sort of, unpredictable, but then also, they kind of lean towards their blue bloods. But I want to ask you about this guy here. St. Louis Blues fan Scott Barry cashed in a 250-1 Stanley Cup ticket. He bet on the Blues in January, 250-1 odds. He put $400 on his Blues, won a $100,000 payout. So the question that I'm going to ask you is, If you were wagering $400 on a 250-to-1 shot and it all came down to one game, would you hedge your bet? Or would you say, you know what, we made it this far, let's ride?
Nope, we made it this far, let's let it ride. It's kind of like the Mike Martin School of Baseball. Man, this weekend, I don't know what's going to happen in there, but I'm riding Mike Martin, man. And I'm the guy who said, I think Florida State can make it to the College World Series,
yeah,
but I don't think they're going to win the College World Series. Well, after last week, I'm riding Mike Martin. So that being said, if it was all in one game and I could sit down and consciously think, I know there's these people who go to these $10,000 lotteries or, you know, $100,000 lotteries, and before the last pick, it's just you and another person, and y'all could either split the pot or win it all. Part of me is like, if I got this far, I'm just letting it ride because luck has been on my side all the way. And that's what I would have done in that particular instance, obviously. And I would assume that that person was a huge Blues fan. And you don't. So he let it ride, though, right?
Yes,
he
went through 100, the whole. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Good for him.
Had an offer from an insurance broker to give him $40,000 to bet the other way, to guarantee himself at least $40,000. Said, know what? I'm sticking with my Blues. And it paid off for him.
That's a true fan. And that's one of those guys that you say, good for you. You stood with him the whole time. And, you know, you get rewarded for it. So that's a good thing.
I don't know if I could have been that brave.
No, hey, listen, it depends totally on your financial situation and where you might stand with everything. I don't know. That guy might have been, you know, wealthy as can be. Yeah, I guess it's all relative to what your situation is. But at that point, I think I would have just let it ride.
Sure. College World Series today, 1 o'clock, Michigan taking on Texas Tech. 6 o'clock, Florida State against Arkansas. Tomorrow's schedule looks like this. Louisville and Vanderbilt. Auburn and Mississippi State. I'll be honest, man, now that LSU's out, I don't really have a preference either way.
Same here.
I will say this. I don't want Vanderbilt to win because of that doggone guy who whistles all game long.
So my goodness. You know what? I was about to disagree with you and say, come on, I want Vanderbilt to win, a fine institution. And when you said that about that guy who whistles, I kind of agree with you. Boy, is that guy aggravating? And he did it. Not only in the SEC tournament, he did it all last week at the Super Regional.
So if you're watching Vanderbilt and you're wondering,
you can't watch him.
Yeah,
you want to turn a station when you watch him.
There's
it's
nothing
crazy.
Wrong with your television set. There's nothing wrong with your surround sound. There's just a guy whistling all game long.
I would challenge a Vanderbilt fan to go over there and throw him out the stadium because he is not doing your university any justice. Do something else. That's aggravating. That's a travesty of the game. And there is such a rule, by the way, travesty of the game, that you can't make fun of the game of baseball. And I wonder if Vanderbilt would ever be punished for it.
We'll see. They're going to be playing
the World Series.
He
can
we'll
do
see.
Whatever he wants. But good God, if you were sitting around that guy, could you imagine how aggravating that would be?
I can't imagine it. And look, they say that he does this home and away, goes to all the games. He's obviously a very well-to-do guy. I can't imagine, first off, having the energy and the lung capacity to whistle for a 3.5-hour baseball game, and then much less having to sit next to that.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, folks, watch Vanderbilt play tomorrow. I think they have the early game tomorrow.
Yeah, 1 o'clock.
Watch it, and you won't be watching long because you'll go, this is aggravating. That guy is so aggravating. I do kind of hope it's Arkansas and maybe Auburn. That would be kind of cool.
Sure.
Or Arkansas and Vanderbilt. Or Arkansas and who's the third SEC team down there?
Mississippi State's in there.
Ooh, I don't know about, man, that's tough pulling for Mississippi State. Are you an SEC rooter? Or do you get to a point, for example, if Alabama, I know you're an LSU graduate, if Alabama's playing for a national championship in football?
Absolutely not.
Okay. I just wondered. Because there are people who say, hey, Alabama's from the SEC, I'll pull for it. My son, just like you, my son's probably a little younger, but an LSU graduate, he cannot pull for Alabama. He could care less if they're in the SEC or what. As a matter of fact, he wishes they weren't in the SEC, but he cannot pull for Alabama.
If it's Georgia, if it's Tennessee, yeah, I'll stick my chest out. Yeah, SEC. If it's Alabama, if it's Florida, no, I'm good.
How about Texas A&M?
No, I'm good.
Well, that's the one he can't because he lives in the Woodlands, Texas, and that's Texas A&M land, and he can't stand it.
So. I would have been a yes for Texas A&M until last year's game.
Everything that happened in the football game.
Everything that happened in the football game, everything that went down after that, yeah, I'm out.
My son never was an anti-Texas A&M until living in the Woodlands, and every day he's got to hear it, you know. And then he works as a mechanical engineer with a bunch of guys who are Texas A&M grads, so he's got to hear it. So now it's like, I think he would actually pull for Alabama against Texas A&M. So we'll see how it all plays out. But I always wondered that about how people – you know, perceive who they want to win from the SEC.
It's a tough choice, man. It's like, is Bestis or Cyanide, which one you want?
Cyanide. Bite the bullet, huh?
The Sports Corner presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. We'll take a quick commercial break. When we get back, Nate Fry will be on the phone line.
Are you tired of waiting in the big box stores?
Customer needs assistance in appliances. Never mind. Customer went to Rod's Superstore.
Spring is in the air at Rod's Superstore in Houma. Rod's is now an authorized Blaze barbecue grill and accessory dealer. With the Blaze limited lifetime warranty and a selection of grills, side burners, and flat top burners, along with refrigerators and outdoor island, will make any backyard a getaway. The heat is on, and Rod's Superstore has Friedrich and Frigidaire window air conditioners from 5,000 to 36,000 BTUs to keep you cool this summer. Rod's Superstore has home appliances by Frigidaire Pro, Sub-Zero, Wolf, KitchenMaid, Whirlpool, and Maytag. Refrigerators and freezers, ranges, and dishwashers, washers, and gas and electric dryers. All this and factory-trained in-house service for their customers only. Why not Rod's Superstore? 808 Barrow Street in Houma.
Locally owned and operated, Ruderman is looking for licensed plumbers, experienced drain cleaners, and plumbing apprentices to join our growing team. We offer full benefits including health, dental, long and short-term disability, paid vacation, and 401k. Ruderman is your local plumbing expert that provides full-service drain cleaning and plumbing repairs throughout the greater New Orleans area. If you're a licensed plumber, experienced drain cleaner, or looking to get into the exciting plumbing field by learning as an apprentice, Ruderman is the place for you. Contact Matthew today to join our dynamic team.
When you're sick, you want to be close to home. World-class medicine doesn't require a trip to the city because the best care is close to home at Thibodeau Regional. We're continually adding new services, and our team of physicians has grown to more than 250.
That's a lot of doctors.
More doctors, more services, treating more conditions.
And keeping more families healthy.
World-class medicine, right here, close to home at Thibodeau Regional.
Has your child swallowed your medicine, your laundry detergent, your nail polish remover? Call the Poison Helpline. Have you inhaled paint thinner, glue, pesticides? Call the Poison Helpline. Have a question about a dose, a fume, something your kid just drank? Call the Poison Helpline. Poisonings can happen at the home, on the job, or in the great outdoors. Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. 1-800-222-1222. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Megan here with Vision Communications. Have you checked out Vision's Lightwave TV yet? With Lightwave TV, you get a more modern interactive program guide, better search features, true multi-room DVR, access to new channels, and so much more. Upgrade to Lightwave TV today and pay only $65 a month. That's only $65 a month and includes two set-top boxes and DVR service. Call today for offer details and to learn more about Lightwave TV. A better way to watch. From Vision Communications, bringing you a better vision.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg. Keep it on 100.3 FM, your 24-hour sports station, ESPN New Orleans.
And welcome back to the Sports Corner, presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Casey Gisclair and Stan Gravois. We go to the phone lines right now where we have professional basketball player Nate Fry on the line. Nate, good morning, man. How you doing?
Good, man. I'm doing great. How you doing, Casey? How you doing, Stan?
Doing just fine, brother. Busy time for you. It always is a busy time for you. You're fresh off of playing some professional ball. What are some things going on in the world of Nate Fry right now, man?
Well, right now I'm just trying to stay in the gym, keep in shape. It's always hard when you have your season so far out to try to stay in shape, especially with the weather being the way it is. You want to get your cardio and stuff in. But that's basically what's going on. I'm also working as a software analyst. That's what I do when I'm back at home with the government agency. So I was able to get hooked up with a really good job. So I've just been talking to a lot of agents too, just trying to narrow down my options on where I want to go, where I want to do, what I want to do for next season. The goal is to stay in the States, obviously. Would like to see to get with the Miami Heat or the Pelicans, but it's just it's a lot of networking that needs to be done, man. We're in a small part of Louisiana. Not a lot of guys come here for basketball purposes. You know, we're a football baseball area, as you guys know, very, very well covering sports. So just continuing to work hard in this offseason. I always say this is the time that guys get better. Once the season gets here, it's kind of late to try to make strides and get better. So this is always a crucial part for me. My whole life, basically this whole summer, for getting better.
Nate, you mentioned football, so I'm going to share this. A lot of people will ask me, being a former coach in the area and just seeing mm-hmm. people and kids come through, and they say, who's the best athlete you've ever seen in the area, in the Bayou region? And obviously we have a ton of really good athletes. Mm-hmm. And then I say, well, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Are you talking about basketball guys? Are you talking about football guys? And I said, no, just the best athletes. And Nate Fry is always in my top five for what you did with football and with basketball. And your dad will always say that, listen, I never told Nate that he had to be a basketball player, that right. he had to go to UNO. And I know at one time, I think you were looking at Chattanooga or whatever it was along the way. That all being said, when you look back at things, the big topic now in the high schools is multi-sport athletes. Does right. it help you in another sport? Do you think playing football when you were in high school helped you when you were playing basketball at UNO and now what you're doing? Did it help you, or do you look back at it and go, God, I kind of wish I wouldn't have played football?
Well, I would say 100% yes, it does help. I always tell my girlfriend, like, when I end up having my kids, they will be playing three or four sports, track, basketball, football. And the reason why I say this is because you have different skills that you have to incorporate in each sport. For me, when I played quarterback one year, being able to read defenses, having to know if the safety is about to anticipate your pass or whatever, having to do that helps in basketball because, one, the court is a whole lot smaller, and it works back and forth. And to be able to just move as quick as you can on a basketball court is very advantageous on a football field. And it goes vice versa. The things that you have on a football field helps in basketball with being as strong as I am. And that was one of the advantages that I used growing up. I wasn't the tallest guard, but I was always the strongest and most athletic. And I attribute that to the other sports that I played. So
if Coach Battaglia would have ran you out on the mound for baseball, what could we have expected?
Well, actually, I played baseball in one year. I played left field. It was a short-lived season. I had some struggles swinging the bat. I really couldn't connect with the ball too much. But he used me in the outfield a lot. I was actually I was actually an all district outfielder, and I pinch ran a couple times. But that was my thing. You wanted to use my speed and my ability to track down a ball. So that's what he used me for in baseball. I mean in football as well. So I can track a ball down pretty well, and like I said, that also helps basketball when I'm on the help side and they try to make a skip pass. I'm jumping on that, so that's just another evidence of multiple sports helping in one individual sport.
Nate, I like to ask professional athletes this question, and is it mm-hmm. hard to be your own boss and that you set when you work out as opposed to a practice being called? And like, is it hard to kind of manage yourself like that?
Yeah, it is. I often always put myself, like while I was in college, that the way Coach Mark Schlesinger, kudos to him in the season that he just had. I want to give a huge shout out to Coach Schlesinger for just making me the player that I am. But I always told myself that I want to work as hard as I did in college. If I could, keep that grind going, I may not wake up as early. We start to wake up at 5:15 in the morning, be at the gym 4:30. So if you're not on the court at 5:30, you're considered late. If you're walking on the court at 5:30, you're going to be doing some running. So that just means you're not prepared. But I always try to put some grind in every day, whether it's hot, whether it's cold, because I know it may hurt now, but it's definitely going to pay off. And that was the whole thing leading up to my rookie season this year. I just wanted to work as hard as I did in college because I saw the benefits of it. And that's such a great thing. And I also train kids, and I try to stress them too much that it's going to hurt right now, and you're not going to see results at first. But the beautiful part. part about it is when you win a district championship, when you win a state championship, when you get that that call from that coach saying, "Hey, we want to pick you up. We like your game. We like how you go." So that's the beautiful part of it. But you have to stick it out. Stick it out through that hard part.
I want to give you credit, man, because a lot of younger guys don't have the mind for wanting to help the next generation until they get a little bit older. But you're very focused on helping some younger people. You got Alpha Omega Training. Tell us a little bit about that and your mindset of trying to help the next generation of basketball and football players alike.
Yes, sir. So Alpha Omega Training is an idea that I started my sophomore year of college. It actually started as a way for me to keep some money in my pocket. We weren't the type of school, we weren't getting paid, so I just needed a way to make some money. And so I actually started training different people around the school, and that's where it started, in Alpha Omega beginning, and then it has a biblical reference to it, Alpha being the beginning, Omega being the end, because when I get you in the beginning, I'm going to transform you to something completely different in the end. And I actually, I have I've trained so many people. Obviously, there's a girl that, she came, I mean, this is a funny story. You guys are going to like this one. There was a girl named Becca Kleindorf. She was a cheerleader for the University of New Orleans. She came to me and she said, "Nate, I want to try out for the same station." I was like, "You're kidding." And she's like, "No, I'm actually really serious." So we were working out for almost half the school year. And we stopped working out. I think finals came along and we parted ways. And she gave me a call one day and she said, "Nate, I made the St. Patrick's." And she's actually on the squad now. Yeah, she looked up Becca Kleinbuch. I've also worked with Kobe from, I think he's still at Terrebonne right now. I've seen him going on so many visits. There's just a number of other kids that I work on that are going on to college. And it makes me cool because I know I wanted help back in the day and I really couldn't get that. I just had to do a lot of YouTube and a lot of game analyzation. So I just thought about if I could have someone to mentor me back in the day, how happy and full I would have been. So man, if anybody, wants to, I don't really charge much or if anything at all. I just, it's good to see kids succeed. I just want to see our area prosper. Man, we have so many athletes that I just feel like need an opportunity to show what they can do at the next level. And eventually, I feel like we could put this Tri-Parish area on the map, if you ask me.
Is there any thoughts in your mind to follow in Dad's footsteps, whether you remain an analyst and you do the things you do, to actually coach in the future sometime?
I've been asked this question a lot. I still don't have a 100% answer on it. I would like to see myself get more into the skill development aspect of sports, not necessarily coaching, so sort of like just being that guy on the side that the coach can come to and be like, "Hey, I need this kid. I need his release better. I need his release quicker. I need him with a quicker first step. I need him finishing better at the basket. I need his lateral quickness better." Just being with that, because that's what I went to school for. But that's honestly what I would like to, what I picture, envision myself doing later on in the future, if I were to get into some type of coaching aspect.
Well, Nate, look, man, thanks so much for the time, and we'll speak soon, brother.
No, definitely. Thanks for having me on. You guys have a blessed day.
Same to you. That is Nate right. Fry, Homa man, professional basketball player. And look, there are, in this area, he's right, there are so many talented kids. But I want to tell a story about Nate Fry, is that there are very few that are as thoughtful and as genuine as Nate is. If there's a guy on the side of the road with a hurt leg, he's going to stop, pull over, help him out, do it. He is a very genuine, thoughtful person.
And that comes directly from his mother and father, which is the way now. We were talking just recently. As a matter of fact, you and I were talking about having a conversation with Kathy Luke, who is at Homa Christian. And I was mentioning to her, probably around Christmas time this upcoming year, we're going to have some type, and when I say we, the TGMC Community Sports Institute, some type of seminar clinic where we're going to talk about the shoulder, and we're going to get Jeff Stone, who has worked under Dr. James Andrews, to talk to kids about taking care of your shoulder when you pitch. Girls who pitch underhand, and obviously boys who pitch overhand. And we're going to ask coaches to come in and everything, and somebody stopped me and says, "Well, you're asking the wrong people to come in." And I said, "What do you mean?" And they said, "Well, you could ask a coach and you could even ask a kid, but you better ask their parents too, because the parents are the ones who have to understand, because that's where we get it all from. That's where Nate got it from." Nate's dad, obviously Freddie Fry, who is the head basketball coach there, and his mom have done a terrific job of raising all of those kids, all of them.
There's no doubt about that. So, got a quick message before our top of the hour commercial break. It's from our old buddy, Coach Brian Colley. He said Tarpons are playing over at EDY today in the league, and he also mentioned for us to say on the air, and this is a rib at one of his assistants, Coach Brody Williams, keep two hands on the wheel. They're driving the Thibodeau right now. You guys be safe getting out there. You're listening to The Sports Corner, presented by Terry Bowen General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3 Radio.
The locally owned UPS store in Houma does much more than shipping. They offer a wide range of products and services to help and support small business owners and individuals. The UPS store in Houma offers packing, shipping boxes, large format printing, banners, shredding, faxing, and more. The UPS store is your one-stop store for business and more. Located on Martin Luther King Boulevard across from Chick-fil-A in Houma. Check them out on Facebook.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Ride the world's largest inline water slide. Ride the world's largest razor slide. Ride the world's largest funnel slide. At Blue Bayou.
Land of the Giants.
Ride the world's largest dark bowl slide. Ride the world's largest sled slide. And ride the world's largest upside down water slide. At Blue Bayou.
Land of the Giants.
We are the South's largest water park. And get $5 off your day pass with any Coca-Cola product can. Blue Bayou is the
Land of the Giants.
I-10 at the Highland Road exit, Baton Rouge.
Have you mixed your pain meds, your sleep meds, your allergy meds? Call the Poison Helpline. Has your child eaten a tube of toothpaste, a chip of paint, a wild mushroom? Call the Poison Helpline. Have you been bitten by a spider, a snake, an insect? Call the Poison Helpline. Poisonings can happen at the home, on the job, or in the great outdoors. Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. 1-800-222-1222. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
A child psychiatrist explained why organized team sports are so important for the development of young people.
In boys, at least, being on a sports team is associated with being less sad, and the hippocampus plays a role in that.
And a look into baseball's unwritten rules with MLB insider Danny Nober.
There's more of an acceptance that you can flip your bat, you can show emotion on the field.
Every edition of The Sporting Life on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.
Hi, I'm Brett Chesson, a certified athletic trainer and manager of Terrebonne General's Community Sports Institute. Did you know that TGMC provides certified athletic trainers to high schools in Terrebonne Parish free of charge? The partnership between TGMC and all seven high schools in Terrebonne Parish allows student-athletes to receive education, prevention, and care measures at school during practices and games. It's just another way that we're caring for our community. TGMC Community Sports Institute. Just look for the neon yellow. For more information, go to TGMC.com.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
And we can begin hour two of the Sports Corner, presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center's Community Sports Institute with Casey Gisclair and Stan Gravois.
Thank you very much, Joey D. We are live. You're listening to the Sports Corner. Hour one is in the books. Hour two is underway. In 15 minutes, we'll go to a championship-winning coach. That is Tony Clark with Thibodeau High School. They actually got their championship rings earlier this week. Coach Clark will give us a rundown about the experience that was of actually putting that big old rock on his finger, and then also talk about some of the challenges that they're going to face going forward here now that they're trying to put the pieces back together and do it again. At 11:30, we'll have Dave McCormick, the Ellender Memorial football coach, on the line to talk about some things they're getting done over the summer. A reminder to everyone that if you guys are not occupied this afternoon, come on out to Houma Sunrise and Houma Terrebonne Rotary Club's Buddenburgers Championships. We'll actually be live on the air from 4 to 6 out there. Fellas, 36 teams are going to be cooking burgers out there. So that means I've got a lot of work to do.
Well, you know, you're taking at least 36 bites of burger, you know, get a bite in of each different kind of burger. And I know from the past, I actually attended 2 years ago, and then last year couldn't make it, was actually out of town on vacation. But, man, it is a terrific event. You're going to have a lot of fun there, and all for a worthy cause, so that's kind of neat.
Let me do some math here. The competitors have to supply 75 burgers, and there are 36 teams. So let's pull out the phone, 75 times 36. 2,700 hamburgers will be cooked today, at least.
2,699 could be eaten by Casey.
So, yeah, my clothing may not fit next Saturday, but we'll make it work.
We're talking about the burger side of it. Remember, folks, it's called Bud and Burger. So if there's 2,700, is that what you said, hamburgers?
2,700.
There's going to be a lot more Budweisers than that.
6,000. <so. laughs> Yeah. So we're going to be doing that from 4 to 6 today. But, man, we're talking a little bit of sports earlier in the show. Golf tournament going on, U.S. Open. Pebble Beach has not been able to defend itself. The wind has been down. The course has been dry. Very wet, and the golfers have just been teeing off on it.
Yes, it's not. You know what? When you watch Pebble Beach, if you see it on television and you see the sun out and it's a beautiful day and the water has a little bit of a blue tint to it, the conditions are bad. The wind is blowing. But when it just seemed like a foggy kind of haze to it the last couple of days. And actually, I thought, is this because Fox is covering it? Because Fox is not traditionally one of those, you know, networks that covers golf. But no, that's not what it was. It was just a saturated course with not a whole lot of wind. It was just kind of stagnant. It does look like it's a little chilly out there. But it makes for decent scores, although the scores yesterday weren't probably quite as good as they were the day before yesterday. Nonetheless, you know, the U.S. Open's always supposed to be extremely challenging, and it's not near as challenging as it usually is.
53 degrees out there at Pebble Beach, so it is kind of chilly.
Well, that's challenging.
Yeah, that's going to be tough for those golfers today. And look, we talk a lot about places that we've been, places that we want to go. I don't care if I would hit a single golf shot on the course. I would love to just go to Pebble Beach because even looking at it on TV, it looks beautiful. Can you imagine actually being there? It must be breathtaking.
There was a shot yesterday, and when I say a shot, a camera shot, of who's the guy in the lead? Woodland,
Gary Woodland.
Gary Woodland, I'm sorry. Gary Woodland was hitting the ball, I think, on the 18th, and it showed him in the fairway with the scene behind him, and I thought, if you just get one shot like that to hang on your wall at your house, you're in heaven forever. That's unbelievable how beautiful that is. And I know they enjoy going there every year. Unfortunately, I know you've kind of, I thought about you yesterday watching it on television. I thought you watched, said, man, Casey's probably, come on, Tiger.
Yeah.
Come on, let's get it going, Tiger.
This doesn't have the juice this week.
It's like it's, again, I liken it to an outboard motor when you're going out to go fishing. That's just not running on all cylinders.
Yeah, he's kind of struggling right now, man. In the first day, he was kind of all over the place. Yesterday, took a more conservative approach, but was leaving himself 25 feet for birdie on every hole. Didn't make very many of them. It's going to be tough. I don't think he's going to be in contention anytime over the weekend. Curious to see of some of these guys that are tailing Woodland a little bit, who's going to make a run at him. There's some big names kind of chomping at his heels. Rory McIlroy, Brooks Koepka, Sergio Garcia, Matt Kuchar. These are name brand guys. John Rahm even at 3-under par. Henrik Stenson 3-under par. Dustin Johnson 2-under par. Got a feeling what I'm getting at is that if Woodland is not at his best, we could see a very dramatic championship here over the next couple of days.
I would be surprised if he actually does win it, to be honest. I know he's a good golfer. I get it. But there's something about the major championships where you have to have that it factor. I mentioned that I thought Brooks Koepka earlier in the PGA, you know, championship. I don't think Brooks Koepka is a guy who could go play in the British Open. It's an it factor. But in a tournament like this, and obviously he's won the U.S. Open before, do you think maybe he can? And for whatever reason, those guys who have done it before or have been in the top three or four year in and year out are the guys you got to look at. And that's why Woodland, I'm not quite sure he stays up there.
My question about Brooks Koepka is this. And look, I consider myself a golf fan. Like, I don't just watch Sunday on the four majors. Like, I kind of follow it all year round. other than the four majors, I don't know where the heck he is. Like, it feels like he's never on the leaderboard except for these four tournaments, but his skill set is so dominant. It's like when he's playing the Byron Nelson in the middle of the season, why is he not winning those tournaments? It feels like he intentionally tries to peak his game at the right times, and it's working for him.
Well, when you were a young boy, you know, back in the mid-2000s when Tiger Woods was winning all of the majors, I thought that about him. I said, man, he just comes out and wins the majors. That wasn't the case. Tiger Woods didn't play in near as many events as everybody else. Sure. He just went win all of them,
yeah,
whether it was a major or not. He just kind of won all of them. That being said, you're right about Brooks Koepka and the other ones. You know, he'll finish in the top 20, you know, but it's not like he's a threat going in, and then all of a sudden in these things, I don't know what it is. I'm not that versed in golf to understand that the U.S. Open and the PGA Tour event and, excuse me, championship, and even the British Open, what it is about those that make these certain guys always come to the forefront. But whatever it is, he's got it because he's there again, and he's probably, as much as anybody else, got a shot to win that thing.
I never understand a couple of things about sports. I never understand how anyone in baseball gets a hit because I've seen a fastball come at 98 miles an hour. I don't know how anybody ever squares that up. Second thing is, from somebody who's been trying to play a little bit more golf in the last 2 months or so, I don't understand how they swing that doggone thing 120 miles per hour and keep control over hitting the ball exactly where they want to hit it. That's the hardest thing in the world.
The best thing to do, and it just actually happened. So on Monday, had the opportunity, H.L. Bourgeois High School over in Gray had a big golf tournament. And they were getting, obviously, that's how you make your money. You have to do the things. And they had an alumni golf tournament, although I'm not an alumni, but it was to raise money for the school's athletic department. And we videoed some of our swings. And then that night I went look at a swing that we may have. And look, I'm talking about an Andy 18 handicap golfer with me or more, depends on what day it is. And then you look at those guys and their rotation is so huge. They go way back,
they're
and
so
all
flexible.
The way through, and they're so flexible. And it made me realize that if I ever tried to do that, I would probably, me and Joey would be in physical therapy together, working out and doing things, because it's just amazing the torque they put on their bodies and the way they, it looks effortless.
It does.
It really does. But then when you show it up next to yourself, if you're a golfer out there, take a quick little video of yourself on a, when you're using your driver off the tee, and put it up next to what these guys, and then that's when you realize just how they get the ball out there 320 yards compared to your 260 yards.
And I can't speak for my swing, but or I can't speak for your swing, but I know with my swing, it doesn't look effortless on film. It looks like I'm trying really hard.
Yeah, mine just looks bad. But I will say this, that, you know, you what is it? You putt for dough. You drive for show, and I get it. After a while of playing, you understand that you still have to be a great putter, and I think that's why Tiger Woods has always been so great. He was great pretty much at all of it, but he was a great putter also.
No doubt about that. If anybody is listening to the show and realize, hey, I want to go back and catch that interview with Justin Williams, you could do that. Go to ESPN1003.com. Our internet streaming is powered by Vision Communications. You're listening to The Sports Corner, presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Out of this commercial break, we're going to have Thibodeau men's basketball coach Tony Clark on ESPN 100.3.
Hey! Warm weather means baseball, but it also means swarming termites. Hi, I'm Nichols baseball coach Seth Thibodeau. When I want to strike out termites, I put the local experts Dan Foster and Billy Foster in the game. Terminex targets termites where they live and eliminates the colony. Call a local team at Terminex of Houma for a free inspection and quote on termite protection. It will be a home run.
Terminex is a proud supporter of Nichols Athletics.
$10,000 for clunkers and junkers. $10,000 for any trade. Houma Clayton Homes. Trade in your old mobile home or anything with the title, regardless of the condition. Does your old mobile home rust, leak, or mold? We will take it for $10,000. Trade it in for something clean, neat, and new. Houma Clayton Homes. Houma Clayton Homes. Houma Clayton Homes. Houma Clayton Homes, located on Highway 311 in Houma. Be sure to check us out on Facebook.
Your life is mobile.
So is your bank. As a State Bank and Trust Company account holder, you can check your balances, view transactions, transfer funds, and pay bills anywhere or anytime with State Bank and Trust Company's online banking or mobility app. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Is pain putting a strain on your quality of life? Don't suffer in silence. Get relief at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Dr. Luis Hernandez and Dr. Keith Duplantis can provide solutions to neck, knee, and back pain, as well as pain associated with injury, arthritis, nerve damage, and migraines. Get help for your pain at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Call today, 985-493-4080, or go to Thibodaux.com.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Hey, it's Matt Moscona.
Love you, Matt.
Paul O'Neill.
They're chanting Paul O'Neill's name.
And Musso.
And we invite you to join us every single weekday for After Further Review. I'll tell you every single day. If you're talking about it, we're talking about it. Weekdays on After Further Review. Join us from 3 to 6. It's AFR on 100.3 ESPN New Orleans.
Southeast Louisiana's sports leader, ESPN New Orleans.
Welcome back to the Sports Corner, presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Casey Gisclair and Stan Grava enjoying our Saturday morning. We hope you guys at home are enjoying your Saturday mornings as well. We go to the phone lines. We have Thibodaux boys basketball coach Tony Clark on the line. Coach Clark, good morning, man. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. Doing good.
Good, man. I'm sure that there have been times here in the last couple of days where you just kind of looked over at your hand and said, yeah, man, this is real. Tell us what it's been like to get that championship ring on that finger.
Oh, it was nice. It was a beautiful celebration. In fact, it was the first time we were all back in the gym since the Natchitoches game. You know, we had a lot of celebrations, but, you know, it was never one that we did. So it was just good to have. And, you know, the rings are real nice, and the kids love them.
As far as responsibility, and I would imagine there's people to thank for getting that done for you guys. Talk a little bit about how that all came about, that y'all had that ring ceremony that day.
Well, I mean, actually, our principal set up the meeting. In fact, I didn't really think about it, you know, at the time, but I think it was the Tuesday after we won. He called Bell Ford. They came in. We met. I came up with a nice design, and you know, they made the ring for us. You know, we had a couple of people who stepped up and made a few donations. We sold T-shirts. You know, that was the majority of the funding. And, you know, plus we had a good season. You know, just the crowd support's been great. So, you know, that's how we were able to do it.
And I must say, if anybody out there would like to see the ring, all you have to do is go to Facebook and find J-Rock's site. Jerry's got his on there, and that's how I saw it. It is a beautiful ring. Did a good job with that.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah,
Coach. The kids, man. To have them all back in one place, and I know you said it's the first time in a while they've been in the gym. Man, the big old crowd wasn't in the gym with you, but I'm sure that you could still hear the echoes of that wonderful run you guys had in March.
And it was, I guess, kind of a weird feeling. You know, we've been practicing it and, you know, doing what we do, but just having some of the other kids, because we hadn't all been together, and you know, we put on a video of the championship game during the celebration, and, you know, everybody kind of got quiet and just watched the video. We ran it through about 3 or 4 times, and, you know, it just brought back memories of that night in March, you know.
I don't think you realize what's happening, because there's a lot of other basketball coaches in the area. You know, you have Derek, and you have Andrew, and you have all of these guys, Brian, who is saying, look what they did. Look how they did it. It kind of sets an example. And then another, I just think, a great compliment to you and what you did this year is we had Shane Troskler on a couple of weeks ago, and Tyron Young, I think, is going to be one of his ball players in the future. And he said, that I need that kind of guy with me. He understands. He gets it. He saw what it takes. So you have to feel good, not only about what y'all did on the court, but what kind of young men you're producing, too.
Well, and that's big because, you know, my expectations are pretty high for our kids. You know, I still believe in old school discipline to an extent. You know, I kind of maybe changed some of my coaching methods a little bit. But, you know, it takes hard work to get that. You know, and you know, you just kind of got to go through it, you know. But, I mean, this was just a great bunch. And I can honestly say, for the most part, I've always had a good bunch of kids, you know. But this group was just a little bit more special, I guess.
So tell us now, as you guys are playing in the summer, you want to keep that high standard. But at the same time, you don't have the same personnel. You're replacing a good bit of starters and a good bit of the meat of that team. So how do you mm-hmm. make sure that, you know, you guys are not – holding this year's team to sort of the expectations of last year's team?
Yeah, well, we discussed it. And, you know, one of the things that came up with our coaching staff is we're really not going to discuss it a whole lot once we start working. Now, it was tough early because you can tell that I guess that championship hangover was still lingering. You know, first time we played, we got spanked. And we played Scotlandville, and we played Madison Prep this summer. And it seemed like that humbled us. And then we kind of started playing a little bit better or working a little bit harder. You know, we did a great thing, but it's over now. You know, we got to move on. And I think that helped us start the process of moving on, you know, those two losses.
Replacing your point guard is going to be a big challenge because, you know, Kobe was mm-hmm. was a big weapon offensively and defensively. How do you kind of piece that ball handling together?
Well, and I guess with us and being in the public school, it won't happen in a year, unfortunately. You know, Kobe was a 3-year starter, and I can remember back his sophomore year as a starter. The last game we played that year was at Natchitoches, and I mean, I'll tell you now, you know, Kobe had 9 turnovers, and I had to take him out because he just couldn't handle it. You know, so it's a process to build an athlete like a Kobe. You know, they don't just come along on our level. You know, some schools maybe they can go get him, but you know, that's not how it works with us. You know, so. You know, we got a couple of kids who are going to step up and play the position, and we got some youngsters who I think in a couple of years are going to be, you know, some pretty good players.
And for those younger guys who maybe didn't get as much burn on the team, but were still part of the ride, you know, maybe sitting on the end of the bench or playing junior varsity against those guys in practice, I think to see it firsthand what it takes, I'm sure that's going to help you guys too, huh?
It helps, it helps a whole lot because right now I see a couple of kids who give me a little bit more than I expected, and I think that has something to do with it, you know, practicing around. And those guys still around. You know, next week we're going to have a day where I'm going to get some of the older guys back in the gym to play with the young guys again, you know, before they all leave. But, I mean, that's what you need. You know, it's one of the biggest things for kids is just that experience of being there.
Coach.
You know, and I think that's helping,
We talk all the time about the night you guys won the championship and then the game against Bonneville before that, and I think, and I still say this to this day, the ability that your team showed to go on the road against Hanville in the second round, a game that they had you pinned down pretty good there, but for you guys to get out of that situation, I still think that was one of the more memorable rides or one of the more memorable stories your team had. Talk us through what that was like because, man, people don't realize you guys were almost home in the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah, we were. And I think that was the biggest game of the playoffs for us, you know. And I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that they were just so familiar with us, you know, being our third time playing. Last year we played 3 times. So, you know, 6 times in 2 years is a lot to play a team. And, you know, but we just didn't stop. And that was the key all year long, you know, regardless of score. You know, this team just didn't stop playing. And, you know, was able to overcome. I mean, that was a wild finish. I know you were there broadcasting, but, you know, that's just a compliment to the way we played this year.
Do you think it even had something to do with you winning it all, the way that game ended, and maybe your kids learning a little bit while in the playoffs to go on to do the things you did to win it all?
Yeah, I think that's some of it. And I think, you know, playing a tough schedule. You know, we've had a couple of games this season that were similar. I remember playing E8. And our St. Olaf tournament, which was kind of similar to that game. You know, we just made more free throws than them at the end. Then Bonneville the next night, which was another close game. You know, so that's why, you know, with PowerPoint scheduling is a little tougher, I think. But you've got to play games like that during the season where you can put your kids in, you know, the toughest position you can. You know, know, to hopefully be in that situation at the end like we were.
You're an athletic director, so I'm gonna kind of put you on the spot here. There are all these headlines about Mr. Bonine being asked to come up with proposals to end the split or, you know, whatever it may be. What are your thoughts on some of the news that's developed here in the last couple of days?
I'm actually somewhat excited about it. You know, we were never for the split. We never voted for it. I don't like the split because I just don't like the way it came about. You know, there's other sports who I think there's a bigger discrepancy in championships that's not split. You know, but football, baseball, basketball are split. You know, and I just don't think that's right that you pick and choose which sports are split because, you know, I guess they feel like they're more popular. You know, so I've never been for it and really wish it would go back. Now, I know there's some problems, you know, among some schools that, you know, I'm not going to talk about, but I'm just not for the split.
I hear you, man. When are you guys going to next be on the court?
We play again Tuesday. We've done two team camps already. We played, four more games already. We've been playing in White Castle's summer league. We played at Tulane a couple of weeks ago. We played at New Iberia. So this is actually going to be the last week of playing for us, though. And then another week of practice, and then we're going to shut the summer down.
Sounds like a winner. Well, Coach, thanks so much for the time. Yep. And next time I see you, man, I'm going to go and scope out that ring on your finger, okay?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Yes, sir. That is Tony Clark with Thibodaux High School doing a good job as always. And I wanted to bounce this off of you, Stan, and heck, we could start this conversation now and then maybe finish it in the final segment of the show. That is a very interesting week in LHSA politics, is that Mr. Bonine has been asked to come up with proposals to potentially end the split, and that's sort of what's generating the headlines. But if you read the full, you know, task he's been given, he's also been tasked with finding ways to allow the private schools, select schools, to come up with their own subset under the association umbrella. So it's kind of an either or. It's like either figure out how to bring us all back together or figure out a way to split us apart for good.
I got to tell you, there's a lot of coaching friends I have that are still around that said it's that or. It's that subset that you just mentioned that might very well happen where all of the select schools are going to have their own kind of area. The one thing that has always been weird about it, Casey, that I've never understood, and Coach Clark hit on it a little bit, it's only for selected sports. That's one. And I made a motion to you while Coach Clark was talking. It's about money
sure,
a lot of the time.
Absolutely.
That's the bottom line. The other thing is if you take all of the select schools right now and you just put them in a line from their attendance from top to bottom, this school has, you know, 2,000 kids all the way down to this school having 200 kids. It's weird how Division I is only going to have 12 teams, but Division II might have 18 teams, but Division III has 36 teams,
yeah.
And then Division IV only has 16 teams. And you go, well, wait a minute, what is that about? It's because they're still playing classification districts. And because they're in a classification district, for example, in 7-4A, you had E.D. White and you had Vanderbilt Catholic both playing in that district. They were labeled as a Division II team. Yet, if you split all of the select schools in four, you just went down and said, here's your top four, here's your second tier of four, here's your third tier. Not four necessarily, but you understand what
I'm
saying. Then Vanderbilt might not be where they were at in Division II. They may have been one of the smaller teams in Division I, but it's still even. So it gets very, very complicated for a person just to go read it and say, I could, you know, snap my fingers and have this all taken care of. It's not an easy process, and I get that. But, man, it's gotten to the point. I mentioned earlier, I was speaking to Kathy Luke, and she says now it's at the point where, for like girls basketball in the select division, it's like when the playoffs start, they're pretty much saying, you're on your own. Go take care of it. Now, listen, we folks in the non-select are going to be playing in Rapides Parish, you know, at the Coliseum, but you guys are going to have to just take care of it.
Well, they made that decision. That's what they wanted.
And she said that.
Yeah.
Now let me be clear about that. She said, and it was our fault because our principals are the ones who said this is what we want. She said, but we also thought we were going to get a little direction still from the LHSAA. We didn't think they would say, y'all just go do it. we thought we'd get a little direction and maybe even a little help as to do it. And they're saying, go do it. So actually, the LHSA is right. It's what you wanted. Do it. And I would imagine that the select schools are kind of right, too, because they thought they were going to get a little guidance. It's all about communication. And it's going to be interesting, man. I'm going to tell you what. We had about 3 years of, I don't want to say calm, because people weren't all happy. But you didn't hear a lot about what was going to happen. You're going to hear it.
There's
now.
Some black clouds in the sky.
Yeah, exactly.
One gripe I always had to kind of piggyback on some of the concerns that you had is I always thought it was kind of weird. And I'll just use two schools as an example. Like, you know, Vanderbilt and South Lafourche, for example. South Lafourche could beat Vanderbilt, and it won't matter as much because they kind of got their playoff spots sewed up in most sports. But if Vanderbilt beats South Lafourche, and South Lafourche is number 32 at the time, that could knock them out of the playoffs. And I always thought that was kind of weird, is that it's not like an apples to oranges regular season thing. It's just weird.
It's
an awkward fit.
I agree. It totally did. And, of course, we've kind of hammered home that situation where in Division II for the select schools, you have Class 2 and Class 3 schools playing in it. So, again, Class 2 and Class 3 schools play in Division 2. A Class 3 school gets much more power points than a Class 2 school does.
That too, yeah.
And so it's apples and oranges. And until you can get it all worked out, and what Coach Clark said is the best thing. We go back to the way we played it before, but we messed it up. And I say we, all of us in high school sports, because I guess we all have some kind of little blame in there somewhere. We all messed it up in the 70s, in the 80s, and really in the 90s, and horrifically bad in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
And we've gotten to this point. And for you folks who are saying, yeah, but you could blame that on three schools, and everybody out there knows what's two, three schools I'm talking about in the state of Louisiana. It's not just that.
Oh, no.
It's deeper than that. It's way deeper than that.
Is the Sports Corner presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we get back, Elder football coach Dave McCormick will join us on the line to talk about the Patriots. Maybe a couple other things going on as well. You're listening to ESPN 100.3.
Have you got cheating on your mind?
Oh, yeah, for over 65 years, Golden Motors has been your local Chevy, Buick, new car dealer. I'm sure you've seen us around supporting our local schools, charities, and organizations. That's just our way of saying thanks for being there for us at Golden Motors. Looking for a new Chevy or Buick? Or looking for that light new pre-owned any make or model? Give us a call at 325-1000. Or visit us on the web at goldenmotors.com. 325-1000. Golden Motors. Chevy. Find new roads.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
Have you been injured on an offshore rig or know someone who has? Then you'll want to work with a firm that truly understands maritime law. Offshore injuries are governed by a set of laws that are quite different than land accidents. So it's important that no time is wasted finding the best maritime attorney for your case. An experienced attorney from the Gavery Law Group will help determine what your next step should be. If you need legal advice or have been injured offshore, call Gavery Law Group today at 985-223-4400 or follow us on Facebook. Get Gavery, get results.
This is Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. There's history in the making right here in Louisiana. Did you know the world's first submarine was designed and built in Louisiana? Check her out and learn about her story at the Capitol Park Museum in Baton Rouge, or peer into Napoleon's death mask at the Cabildo in New Orleans. Sports fan? Then you need to see the memorabilia from the greatest coaches, athletes, and programs at the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame in Natchitoches. Plan your trip today at louisianatravel.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Office of Tourism.
It's Golic and Wingo.
During the quote-unquote steroid era, when everybody talked about how baseball knew about it but didn't want to say anything because look what was going on, who was running the show then?
Bud Selig.
Is Bud Selig in the Hall of Fame?
Yep.
It's amazing how that happened. You do realize, people, before the so-called steroid era, steroids were being used. It doesn't matter just when it was right before it was tested for or right when it started to get tested for.
Golic and Wingo, weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Hi, I'm Brittany LaBeouf, a certified athletic trainer for Terrebonne General Medical Center's Community Sports Institute. Did you know that we've given over 4,000 baseline concussion tests to student athletes in Terrebonne Parish at no charge? A baseline concussion test allows the athlete to get back to their sport in the safest manner possible. TGMC's certified athletic trainers supervise the return-to-play protocol at each high school once the physician releases the athlete back to activity. It's just another way that we're caring for our community. Terrebonne General's Community Sports Institute. Just look for the neon yellow. For more information, go to TGMC.com.
Miss an interview? Visit the audio vault at ESPN1003.com.
Minutes to go on this sunny Saturday morning. You're listening to the Sports Corner presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Casey Gisclair and Stan Grovall here. Joey D pushing the buttons. And we go to the phone lines where we have Ellender football coach David McCormick on the line. Coach McCormick, how you doing, man?
Good morning. Well, good afternoon or whatever time it is. I just came in from outside. The wife had me doing yard work, so I don't know what day or what time it is right now.
It is still morning, so you called it with the last
right,
25
good.
Minutes.
So I can still get me some coffee. Good.
Absolutely. How's summer football going for the Patriots right now, man?
Oh, it's going good. We're having a good turnout in the weight room. The kids are in there working hard. You know, the coaches are coming in and, you know, taking turns supervising with different groups. And, you know, the young ones, the ninth graders coming in early in the mornings. Our varsity's coming in the afternoon. You know, so I really like the hustle. I really like the effort. And that's what I always wanted out of these kids. If you're getting that, you know, if they mess up, you can fix that. But it's the hustle and it's the hard work, you know, that you got to instill in the kids. And they got it.
David.
We're doing pretty good on 7-on-7. So I'm enjoying the summer so far. You know, it's looking good. It's promising. Yes.
I'm going to skip that 7-on-7 stuff because you know how I feel about 7-on-7.
I know how you feel.
But I am going to go to this, and a lot of people don't realize exactly what's happening. You have always had one feeder school in Oak Lawn Junior High, and quite honestly, you didn't get all of those kids. You probably got about 80% of those kids, maybe 75%. So you didn't even have one full school as a feeder. Now we understand that Grand Cayou Middle, which is a school in the southern part of Terrebonne Parish, is going to start football. So you will have Oak Lawn, say 75-80% of Oak Lawn coming to you because the other portion of that goes to South Terrebonne, which is the weirdest situation ever in Louisiana.
Now, I think it's the only part in this area in the state where it's like that.
So you have a school where kids split up and go to two other different schools, and it's not good for anybody, and it never has been. That being said, let's forget about Oak Lawn. You have to be excited that Grand Cayou Middle is actually going to have football because that may even turn out to be your primary feeder school, right?
Yeah. Well, when you say 85% of the kids from Oak Lawn, it's like 10 kids coming out for football. That's basically what I would get, between 10 to 15. You know, I wish it was, you know, it sounded like the big numbers of 85%, but you figure.
Well, I'm being fair to the other school, because the other school only gets a couple of kids from Oak Lawn, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I get maybe 10 or 15 that would have prior organized football knowledge. So
now that we got
Grand Cayou Middle, because there's no recreation teams down there anymore because the numbers dropped off. So now that I have Grand Cayou Middle, whereas my true complete feeder school, you know, it's going to help us tremendously, because now these kids are not going to be coming to me their ninth grade year not having any experience with organized football, because that's what I was finding out the years ever since I've been at Ellen these last 3 years, was I'm getting a lot of kids from Grand Cayou because they couldn't go play at Oak Lawn, you know, because Oak Lawn gets out of school an hour and like 30 minutes before Grand Cayou Middle did.
Oh, wow.
You know? Yeah, so the few that would do it, the parents would check them out of school and go bring them to football practice.
So where are they going to play?
Program.
And I don't mean to cut you off. Where are they going to play? Where is Grand Cayou Middle actually going to play football games?
Well, they always got access to our field.
So
our practice field.
Mm-hmm. Which is a standard field, right? Yes.
Yeah. Our practice field's a standard field. Oak Lawn would play games over there. You know, we would play some of our ninth grade games there sometimes. You know, there's not a whole lot of stands, but it's a nice area. It's set up. They can have their middle school games there.
Coach, it sounds like a very political issue, which is a sort of a segue into the next question I want to ask you. Is you are going to be running for Terrebonne Parish president. What goes into that decision, and what are some things you're trying to do should you be successful in that venture?
Well, what went into that decision was, for years. Well, I say years, I'd say decades. I felt like the voice of the common man in Terrebonne Parish wasn't being heard. And, you know, the political machine was more worried about the select groups or the select individuals that they were taking care of. And the common man was falling by the wayside. And the common man in Terrebonne Parish is the heart and soul of this parish. They're the ones that are out there working their tails off, making this parish the great parish that it is. And so I decided, I wanted to be that voice. And what I want to do for Terrebonne Parish is I want to start off by attracting new businesses into the area. I want to create more job opportunities for our local residents. I want to try to give incentives to businesses that are employing a high percentage of our local people, keep our money in the community. And, that way everybody will benefit,
Talk a little bit about, now listen, this is you, people are starting to see, and I've seen it on social media, that there are yard signs out there for David McCormick. There's a lot of people just tuning in saying, wait, am I listening to the Sports Corner right now? but the fact is, again, we're talking to David McCormick, head football coach at Ellender, who has decided that, I'm tired of just saying things about the political process. I'm going to do something about it. And David is running for parish president of Terrebonne Parish. Signs are going out. There had to be discussion. Have you learned anything in this process? What are the things you had to do to basically run for this? And has it been a surprise along the way with some of those things?
Well, it's a lot of studying. I guarantee you that, a lot of learning. Right now we're going over the ins and outs of the financial campaign side of it, the financial side of it. What can we do? What can't we do? And, what size donations, we can get. And I got a campaign manager. I got a public relations manager. Right now you're saying the signs are going out. Yeah, the signs are going out. And right now I'm wishing I had a sign manager. because I'm loving the response that we're getting, and it's from all over the parish. It's not just from, the east side of the parish. It's all over the parish. I mean, I've been driving all over the last couple of days. From one side of the parish to the other, and meeting people, greeting people in the neighborhoods, and hearing their concerns. A lot of the concerns I'm hearing is the youth. What we want to do with the youth. Well, I want to start a job training corps. With our local school board and our chamber of commerce, and I want to get these young guys in there to get some internships, not just guys, but girls too, and maybe some job shadowing. That way when these kids are graduating high school and they're getting out into the workforce, they're ready to go after those jobs, and it's not always, college is not for everybody. It's not for a lot of people. And getting these people ready for the workforce where they're qualified and they can make good money, and by our companies hiring local, that's just going to help us tremendously. And it's going to give the kids hope, and our youth is hope because they got a chance to get a good job when they get out of high school. And that way, hopefully, it's going to cut down on the crime rate that's slowly starting to rise in Terrebonne Parish. So it's just great going out all over the parish and meeting everybody and hearing the different concerns,
Coach, how in the heck are you going to do this while coaching a varsity football team?
Well, look, football practice usually ends about 5:30, 6 o'clock. I usually don't get home till about 7. My family realizes that I might not be getting home till maybe 10, 11, because after practice, I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna hit the neighborhoods again. Hit them hard. It's gonna be hectic, but if you ask my wife, I always gotta be busy. I gotta be busy. Doing something. I don't like idle time. If I'm sitting down on the sofa at the house more than 45 minutes, I start getting antsy, So I enjoy going out and meeting the people from all over the parish. And so it's going to be busy, but that's what I thrive on.
Well, Coach, we wish you best of luck in that endeavor, my man, and thanks so much for the time.
Thank y'all.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, you got it.
As Coach David McCormick with Ellender Memorial, we wish him luck. He said he doesn't like idle time, neither do I, but I don't like to have that much on my plate as he's going to have in the fall.
He's a hard worker. He is a very hard worker. He's the kind of guy who'll give you the shirt off his back. I'm not here making political endorsements or anything. I just know the guy and everything.
Yeah.
I, I did not know his political aspirations until recently. As a matter of fact, it was because some other friends showed me some yard signs that I said, oh, this is really happening. So, you know what? You have to respect the passion he has for it and what he's trying to do. I told this to you during one of the breaks today when we were talking about Davey coming on later, Coach McCormick. He's written a children's book. He's been in multiple movies that have come out of Hollywood because he did it as an extra in the local area. A lot of them that if you go look at them, you'll actually see him in one that he has speaking lines in. He's got his master's from Fort Hays State in Kansas. You know, he's actually tried out for the Birmingham Sharks of a league that started up professionally. So he tries things and he goes for it. So you have to respect that.
I'm the whole time you're saying all those things, I'm thinking of the old beer commercial where they're listing all the things, the random things,
oh, yes.
And he's the most interesting man on the face of
you're
the
right. Test. Maybe he needs, instead of being president, he needs to go and take, what's the Dos Equis guy's job, because he's the most interesting man in South Louisiana.
A reminder that ESPN New Orleans is home for Major League Baseball coverage on ESPN 100.3 can be found here. The next 2 days, we've got Saturday at 7 o'clock, Chicago Cubs at Los Angeles Dodgers, and then tomorrow at 5 o'clock, Chicago Cubs at Los Angeles Dodgers. So if you're Cubs or Dodgers fan, you're in luck. ESPN 100.3.
Go figure. Chicago against Los Angeles. Go figure.
My Braves won a huge game against Philadelphia yesterday, now 2.5 games.
Your Braves, yeah, they hanging in there, man. Nobody, it gets close, but it doesn't get away.
Got Dallas Keuchel will be making his debut next week, so it's an exciting time. Anyway, if you want to listen to the Cubs or the Dodgers, both games will be on over the weekend on ESPN 100.3. Let's take a final commercial break. When we get back, Stan and I are going to recap everything, put a bow on this show. We hope you guys are having a wonderful Saturday. We know we are on ESPN 100.3.
From the time I fall asleep till the morning comes, I dream about you, baby. And I feel all right.
Ontario, Douay, and Terrio, more than just an insurance company, they're marine insurance specialists. Whether it's fishing boats, cabin cruisers, sailboats, or marine industry, you can trust Terrio, Douay, and Terrio to get you the coverage you need at a price you deserve for your home, your auto, life, fire, and health. They've been taking care of people since 1957. Call Terrio, Douay, and Terrio at 475-5126. Just ask for Lynn Pierce or David O. along Bayou Lafourche in Golden Meadow.
Hi, I'm Lindy LaRue with Donlin Construction. Are you thinking about starting a new project? Well, if you have an idea, we'll make it happen. Donlin Construction, a state licensed contractor, offers many services from site work, concrete paving and foundations, to customized office buildings and warehouses. Whatever service you require, Donlin Construction will make it happen. Just call 985-798-7788, Donlin Construction.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same-day appointments are available on weekdays, with no appointment necessary beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Since the moment you were born, I've made 1,000 wishes. Wishes for your future, in a world that's changing fast. For all of the things you may one day do play, and laugh. Do win and lose. Do learn from your mistakes, and challenge yourself to grow. Do not be afraid. Or make decisions based in fear. Do it all with confidence and with kindness and strength. Do call your mom and ask her for advice. And always do your best to remember that no matter what you do in this life,
thank you.
What matters to me is that you keep doing. I love you always, Mom. Inspire kids to do at 4-H.org.
On the Sporting Life.
Jeremy speaks with some of his favorite guests.
The film was pretty good, but it didn't rise up to the best docs. It didn't make me cry. It took the short route on a lot of the production.
Whenever boxing has an opportunity to shoot itself in the foot in terms of regaining its resonance with your average sports fan, it invariably shoots itself in the foot. And this is a real opportunity.
Download this and every edition of The Sporting Life on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.
Hey, it's Golic. Keep it on 100.3 FM, your 24-hour sports station, ESPN New Orleans.
Oh, the things we talk about during commercial breaks. You're listening to the Sports Corner presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Casey Stan and Joey passing a good time on this Saturday morning. We've got about 7 or 8 minutes left. So I'll ask you this, Mr. Gravois. The NBA draft is on Thursday.
Who do I think the Pelicans are going to take?
Well, we know it's going to be Zion Williamson, okay. Barring something.
I was about
crazy
to say,
happening.
I might get one right.
Will Anthony Davis still be on their roster on Friday?
Wow, that's a great question. Simply because we've been hearing so much lately. When I drove in this morning, obviously, I listen to ESPN radio a lot, and the guys were talking, and they mentioned that the interesting thing about Los Angeles and the Lakers is AD is one of the few guys who actually does want to go there with LeBron. And I keep thinking that is what is going to happen. And it's just whether you and I mentioned it. I don't know if you get anything in return right there for the Pelicans. I mean, you're going to get some guys, but you're definitely not going to get it from the Lakers. I don't know what you get from the Lakers. So if AD goes to the Lakers, I really feel like the Pelicans just got nothing there, and it's great to get Zion, but you're going to get nothing else with it. But I think that's what's going to happen. So in a nutshell, yes, I do think AD is going to be going, and I think it'll maybe, probably, I keep on thinking about it, the Lakers, and we'll see what happens going forward. I'm just disappointed that the guy, you know, a year and a half ago, he was so pro New Orleans, and now it's like there's not even a chance of him being in New Orleans. And unfortunately, I think the Pelicans get nothing for it.
There are very few instances in sports where someone leaves a team and I'm not like, okay, well, hey, good luck, buddy. Because, look, I mean, these are human beings, and if they want to be somewhere, you know, that's their prerogative. I am not wishing Anthony Davis well as he goes
to Los
Angeles.
How were you with Chris Paul when Chris Paul left?
You know, hey, I thought Chris Paul did it the right way in that,
he gave you everything he had.
He gave you everything he had, and he told the team, hey, look, I'm not re-signing with you. Go ahead and trade me somewhere. But he didn't say it has to be to this team or to that team. He said, you know, hey, what, just go ahead and trade me. I'm not re-signing. Get something for me. I thought that was a little different than this, which is his agent coming out and having a siren on top of his head saying, we're only re-signing with the Lakers, which kills his trade value in other places. I really have a hard time taking someone seriously when they're going to say this is about winning basketball games. You want to go to the Lakers and the Knicks, which are the two biggest train wrecks in the league.
Yes, and I would agree with that totally. And there was a point in time this past year where we realized with Anthony Davis, it wasn't about winning basketball games. And that's the kind of guys you hope that come into New Orleans and give you great effort. We keep on mentioning, or at least I do, you know, if Kawhi Leonard goes to the Clippers, I'm going to be disappointed. And here we go again. Here's the Los Angeles and the Boston and the New York and the Chicago bias with everything again, especially in the NBA. That all being said, I guess if you know, Durant and Kawhi Leonard and Anthony Davis and whoever else is a superstar out there would decide to come to New Orleans and play, I would be extremely happy about that, and I would accept it. But for whatever reason, that can't happen in a small market. They can't all say, hey, let's go together and play in this type of market. I don't know. Would you consider Miami a small market?
Oh, no.
No, not by any stretch of the imagination, right? So even when LeBron and those guys did it down there, it was still, we're going to go to a place like this. But I don't think you're ever going to see guys like that going to Memphis. I don't think you're going to see guys like that going to the Timberwolves. obviously, to the Pelicans. Phoenix is right on that border of being a team maybe you do that with. So that being said, it's going to be hard for me. I'll always, I guess, watch the finals, but when it comes to just being a day-in and day-out NBA fan, it's going to be hard for me to follow it if the trend that is happening continues to happen.
So we're going to kind of tie this full circle here, and I'm going to ask you, look, you deal with athletic trainers in your day-to-day. Kevin Durant tore his Achilles earlier this week. He's 30 years old. If you are, without knowing how badly it's torn or anything about his medicals, if you're the New York Knicks, would you be confident offering him a 5-year max contract, knowing the injury, knowing the age? He's 30 years old.
No, I would not. Not that particular injury that happened when he came back in that game was, I think, going to prove to be devastating to what could have happened for him financially going forward. That all being said, he might stay right there in Golden State. And I will say this, there are a lot of anti-Durant people because of what he did when he did leave to go to the Warriors. If he was with the Thunder now and he was a free agent and he did this with the Thunder where he actually tore his Achilles or whatever the specific injury may be and he decided to go to Golden State, I don't think we would have been near,
near
the problem with him that we did when he went initially. That being said, if Kevin Durant, it's really ironic when he went there, a lot of people became anti-KD. Now, if he stays there, there's a lot of people who are going to become pro-KD because of the reasons, but it's still to a major power out there in the San Francisco area.
I agree with that 100%. Now, on the flip side, Klay Thompson is 29 years old, just ripped his ACL up. If you're the Golden State Warriors, are you confident in giving him a 5-year maximum contract?
See, it's a little different because
different
I'm still,
injury.
I still believe in the loyalty of it all. So it's a different injury, and you've proven what you could do to us as an organization. And I think that you make that extra effort to keep him because what he did for you. Now, there are a lot of people who might say, well, wait a minute, man, you might not want to keep Thompson and Durant on the same team just because they've had some supposedly problems along the way. I don't know. I said this at the beginning of the show today when we came on air. I think this might be a case where the Warriors are going to prove to be a really strong team because they're going to keep everybody because they kind of frustrated at what the world thinks of them right now, and they're going to try and prove the world wrong.
This is my favorite time of the year because this conversation that you and I are having about who's going where, what's going to happen here, what's going to happen there, I could do this for hours, man. July 1st is still a couple of weeks away. I have so many group chats and group text boxes with all my friends and everything. We're speculating about all this stuff. We were actually joking about this the other day, is that the most exciting part of the NBA season in a lot of ways is when there are no games being played and just the rosters are taking shape. This is going to be a fun time to be a basketball fan next couple of weeks because there are so many moving parts.
I think the NBA is very smart to do this too because whether you like it or not, it's being talked about and, you know, there's no publicity, which is bad publicity.
Yeah, you're right about that. So we want to thank all of our coaches and athletes for joining us. That would be Tony Clark. That would be Dave McCormick. That would be Mr. Nate Frye and Mr. Justin Williams. Reminder that we are going to be live again at 4 o'clock. I'll be out at the Home of Sunrise and Home of Terrebonne Rotary Club Buddenburgers Championships at 4 o'clock. We'll have 2 hours of radio live from that event. Oh, boy, better take some Tums right now. So I'm going to be eating a bunch out there. We're going to have a great time. Thanks to Stan, as always. Thanks to Joey D, as always. We've had a great afternoon. We hope you guys do the same. You've been listening to The Sports Corner, presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Have a great weekend, everybody.